Good morning, y'all. Welcome to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
I'm DJ Ambush.
Hey.
And Morgan Jones.
Here we go.
Two in one.
You got a twofer.
Oh, no. What's the two-in-one shampoo?
I know what you're talking about. Shampoo and conditioner.
Which is not real. I want everyone to know.
Guys.
You cannot wash and condition.
Listen.
At the same time.
Everyone's hair isn't the same. And maybe it didn't work.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
You know, and maybe it didn't work for you. But I benefited many years from the two-in-one shampoo and conditioner.
Don't buy it.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Did you buy it?
No, I used whatever was in my parents' bathroom. So, if it was there, I'm going to use it, you know. But yeah, shampoo and conditioner, come on. My hair was constantly heavily conditioned.
Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, baby, I can't wait to understand what the heck is going on in Portland local politics. Girl, same.
Oh, my goodness.
What is happening around this place?
Out this piece. Before we jump into that, yeah. I want to say... Really miss you guys. Sorry we couldn't have a show on Monday. Your boy has been severely dehydrated. He's coming up out of the dehydration station. He's leaving, you know, that stop. Man, listen, it's very, very important to take care of yourself. Very. Especially if you have, like, pre-existing conditions and other things. You cannot let capitalism just grind you to pieces. You know, and have you believing that that's where your value lies. Moisturize. Oh. Drink more water. And don't wait until you're thirsty to drink water. Just be drinking it.
Hard to do.
You know, it is. It is. Especially with these data centers doing what they're doing to our water resources.
Oh, okay.
I went all over the place, but I'm bringing it right back.
You did.
You got to support local farms.
Oh.
And eat vegetables. Hmm? Because once you're low,
like
when you're hydration.
When he said eat vegetables, I'm not sure if he's giving me credit for telling him to
I'm
do
giving
that,
you credit.
Or if he's trying to tell me to do that.
No, I'm giving you full creds, bro. Full credit.
Oh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Extra cred, if you will.
It's my favorite kind.
But yeah, I'm talking about depleted, fam. Depleted. Just, you know, you do that thing on your finger where you pull the skin up and see how long it sits up there. Mine was like the crest on a dinosaur's back. It was just up there, like, just chilling, like, whew. Oh, yeah. And you can't rush it by chugging back a bunch of electrolytes. You really cannot rush it. That's for replenishing. That's not for actual bringing up your hydration. Because all you're going to do is spike your sugar.
Sugar goes way up?
Yeah.
Where's that potassium?
Come on, brother.
Who knows?
Oh, all right. So there was my.
I'll tell you. Good morning, AJ.
My health PSA for you guys.
AJ said, "Good morning, loves. Not ready for the tea, but happy to hear y'all's voices. Get your water intake up while we still got water.
Yeah, hello. While we still got them, John.
And Michelle had said, "Does that make the guy with the great radio voice a ghost?" And I think referencing the fact that I'm both of us and. Yes.
To answer your question, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You in danger, girl. There is definitely a ghost
here. The studio is haunted. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll just say that while you've been in dehydration station. Uh-oh.
Really surprised.
Did you just crack a cold one?
Yeah.
I think Ambush is drinking... beer on accident.
Ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the last 7 seconds you've been misinformed. No, this was just a liquid death that I didn't expect to taste as well.
I thought liquid death was just water.
Well, I'll have you know, they did start out as flat water and sparkling water.
Oh.
Then they moved on to sparkling water with flavors.
Uh-huh.
And
the
I believe
essence of.
Yeah. And I believe now they're adding some energy components. That, this is not a promo for Liquid Death. But that tastes, I was like, holy smokes.
Severed lime sounds dangerous. What a name.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So back at it.
Well, back at it, the first thing I want to tell everybody is that there is a measles outbreak.
Whoa.
At, I believe it is the biggest detention center, ICE detention center that, you know,
that we have here?
Us glorious taxpayers have paid for. Let's talk about when you warehouse thousands of people in tents, because I don't think you get to call that immigration policy, but I think that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
But they U.S. Customs and or what's their immigration and customs enforcement.
Yeah.
Has confirmed a measles outbreak at the largest immigration detention facility in the country. Camp East Montana Detention Facility, which is in Texas at the Fort Bliss military base. I don't know why military came out like that.
The disdain just military base.
Which is along the Texas-Mexico border. At least 14 people that are detained there have tested positive for measles. If y'all remember, this is one of the most contagious diseases on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
On Earth 616.
And I feel like we had it under control at some point.
Oh, it's a, I believe the word's called eradicated for the most part.
Okay.
For the most part. And then a bunch of rich people had like a retreat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, how do we cull some of this herd? This is all, I'm making this up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is all fan fiction.
This is all fan fiction. But also, kind of what appears happened.
Right.
They were like, how do we cull this herd? There's a, you know, what if we brought measles back? How do we do that, bro? You can't really just bring measles back. People are vaccinated. Well, why don't we make that not cool again?
Hello.
Duh. You get all these people to think that their COVID vaccine makes them a 5G tower, and they don't like that.
And, you know, can cause late stage autism or whatever they were saying.
To get late stage autism.
Yeah. Okay. Or whatever Kid Rock says in that song.
Yeah. That is what he says. Yeah. There's you know, throw a little RFK in there who fights bears and swims in jeans and, you know, doesn't need vaccines. That's a guy that's every man's man. And so you don't need a vaccine because late stage autism. You yeah. And there's a pizza gate somewhere in here. I'm just there's not sure where to put gate. It. And then boom, measles.
Real quick.
Yeah.
When you mentioned swims and jeans, I think for a lot of people, they may or may not understand that he does this, that he's frequently in water with denim on, with jeans. That's nasty.
Rugged it's, is the word you're looking for.
It's very nasty work. So then what do? When you get out of the water, you just walk around in them till they dry off, till your body dries them off, or do you have another pair of jeans in the back pocket of the wet jeans? Like, where are your backup jeans? What are you doing? It's the most juvenile bleep I've ever, like, I forgot it wasn't on Monday. Like, every time I see it, I'm like, but swimming trunks have been a thing. They've been a thing. You put out these workout videos. Are you afraid to show your chicken legs? What is happening that you're in water with jeans on?
I think the best part, or to your point, I'll say, is that he's choosing to. There's never a moment that he's been filmed in water, in jeans, that he had to that he had to just jump in with the pants, with the denims.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, he just does it. It's rugged. He's a cowboy.
Oh.
Cowboy swim in jeans.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
None of this is true. Tech says, good morning, fam. We're going to just say it. I'm going to jump ahead. Good morning, C's. He said, y'all know they don't care if all those people die. And we do know that.
Yeah, they certainly don't.
They certainly do not. They don't care whatsoever. I will finish this out really quick because, so there are 14 people that are detained that have tested positive for measles. Another 112 people are now in isolation because they have been exposed.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, over there at Gnomeland, is that what we should call it?
Gnomeland.
Yeah. I says that they're closely monitoring this situation, and they've shut down visits and attorneys coming in and all of that. But I just want to remind everybody that this particular facility just opened last year. It's not like longstanding infrastructure. It's a massive tent-style detention complex.
Right.
That houses 3,000 people at a time in incredibly close quarters. And since it opened, three detainees have already died in custody there. One ruled a homicide. Like, hello?
Bruh.
One described as a presumed suicide, which is...
What even does that mean? Them closely monitoring the situation does not make me feel good. Me hearing them say that. I wouldn't trust them to monitor someone else who was monitoring a situation in a room full of monitors.
Audio monitors. Video monitors. I don't care.
I don't care.
Either way.
No. No.
Yeah, so I do just want to also, I'll add in that we always have to follow the money because the company running this operation, Acquisitions Logistics.
Hello.
Which that Acquisition Logistics LLC just sounds like a shell company.
Yeah, it sounds like Christy Gnome's homegirls company.
Yes. And it's a relatively small contractor that somehow landed a $1.2 billion contract to build and operate this site.
You don't say.
Yeah.
I wonder if they incorporated 2 days before they got the contract.
Probably.
Hmm.
Despite previously handling contracts worth a fraction of that.
Yeah.
You know, so I just, you know, for a review.
That's always important.
A measles outbreak. Thousands of people who cannot leave, tent city detention infrastructure, three deaths already, and $1 billion federal contract.
$1 billion, you said?
Yes, yes. It's $1.2 billion for this relatively small contractor. So,
yay, small business.
Yay! Yeah. Just a reminder that when incarceration becomes an industry, public health becomes optional.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, when incarceration becomes an industry, everybody wins.
Pays the price.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
You know, just like everybody plays the fool sometimes.
Yeah.
We all play the price. when the power decides to put us in tent cities and bring in the measles.
Oh my God. AJ said, all I'm hearing is stay inside.
Basically.
It's like, not safe outside.
It's not safe outside. This one says, well, at least they're safe from Kristi Noem because she ain't going nowhere, ain't going over there. True. She won't be over there getting the measles. She don't want that. Does she don't want that smoke seed?
No, she don't. She don't.
This one says, I'm from Texas, and it's pronounced Tex-ass.
That's how you say it.
Apologies. I do like to get those things right.
Oh,
yeah, I'm having a hard time, you know, when the president of these here United States is, I don't know, starting 17 wars at the same time and then saying, I give this one a 15 out of 10. While waging war at home.
15 out of 10.
Yeah.
That was wild. That was wild that he said that.
Wait, what's wild about it? It's called extra credit. Huh. And when you're doing really good,
you earn it.
Get it.
Okay.
You know? They're doing great right now.
I just wish they were better at crime. That's my whole thing. I want sophistication in my crime.
Yeah.
Especially at higher levels. There are people in federal prison right now, white collar criminals in federal prison that have run schemes, MLMs, all types of offshore, this and that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm in here for decades. And these idiots are setting up companies with their friends. They're not even
regular
LLCs. They're not even trying to hide the identity. They're not doing the company formation in Delaware. They're not doing anything.
No.
Direct tie to the person responsible for giving them the money.
It's just like the person who gave them the money, the contract, is in their Facebook profile picture.
Right.
And tagged.
I
love Kristi Noem. She's my bestie.
She's my bestie. We should go in business together.
And then they do. I had a dream, and then I talked to my best friend about it, and now I own Acquisitions Logistics.
You know there are people that lose their job at fast food locations for giving their friends the employee discount?
Yeah. Well, that's stealing.
Yeah.
That's theft.
Yeah.
You know?
Clearly.
And if you want to talk about it, that's the only theft that we really need to crack down on. And when a homeless person steals a sandwich or a hand sanitizer.
Bruh, you know? I cannot. I saw some of the Noem testimony yesterday, and I'm sitting here like, what they're talking about, you know, the shell company. I would say shell company. The company that her homie set up 8 days before receiving the contract. Brand new company. They're like, yeah, we can't find this company. They don't have a website. They don't have an address.
What do I need a website for? I got a government contract, buddy.
Never. I remember.
I don't want anybody else to find me.
Hello? I'm busy spending the government's money.
Well, I mean, I'm doing the job.
As I'm sitting here watching this, I'm like, I remember us coming across this information maybe, what, 2 months ago? A month ago?
What's time?
Yeah, what is time anyways? And I was like, well, I don't think they're going to do anything about this because they never do.
How do they get to when Trump is out here handing out, you know, things to the MyPillow dude?
Right. The running list of emolument clause violations since the first administration, which was never handled in between Trump's middle term, which was Biden's term.
Not the middle term.
Yeah. He's on his third term right now.
Rough stuff. Oh, like, this is his third term?
This is so Trump's third term.
This is the third term you promised, and so he's done after this.
This is the third and final term of any president. This is the terms. We move into dictatorship after this.
That's the name of this season?
Final terms.
The terms.
Yeah. Trump presidency, season 3. The terms. Final terms. Yeah. Yeah.
The Terminator of presidents.
Listen, we're getting really close to the penultimate episode. Okay.
Good night.
Yeah.
Where's Rudo? I need help.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's infuriating, it's triggering, it's insulting that you're allowed to be this unsophisticated in our government stealing money in broad daylight.
Might I remind us all of Doge?
Doge.
Like, the Department of We Steal Everything.
Yeah. Including your identity.
Ours now.
Yeah. And we send some of that to Russia. To the Ruskies.
Didn't send it. But yeah. They found it. They might have found it.
Yeah. It's upsetting, these guys.
Have their hands on it.
It's very upsetting. I came across a video on that old Instagram a couple of days ago. It was from a content creator. I hadn't seen it forever. I thought, dude, just stop making content. But came across the video, and he was responding. He was reacting to another video of a soldier receiving a plate of crab legs. And then, and the text over it was like, you know, our servicemen right now receiving, you know, surf and turf. And this person, this creator, was in the Navy for 15 years and broke it down. It was like, yeah, when service members get surf and turf, when they get steak and lobster or steak and crab, that means they're about to go out.
That means you're not going home.
It means you're not going home soon, bro. He was actually on the ship returning on the way home.
Had just made it through the harrowing Suez Canal.
On his way home, guys. They served surf and turf, and he was like, Then they cut communications. Wi-Fi was out.
No internet. No way to talk to your family.
And they turned that ship around. And they went
back through the Suez.
Go back through the Suez and, yeah, go get some work done. I never knew that was a thing. As many members of my family, my cousins and aunts and uncles that are in the service, I never knew that was a thing. And the first thing that popped in my head was, wow, so like just like seeing surf and turf on a menu could be triggering.
Yeah. Well, and the way that they presented it was you're not getting a menu. You're going to the mess hall and you're getting a tray and they're throwing it on there.
Yeah.
And fam got a bunch of crab legs and his mouth was agape.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Not this. This again.
I'm sorry. I should have been more clear. I'm thinking like I'm at Outback. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now you see surf and turf on the menu. It's like, ooh.
I see.
Like, I just never would have considered that at all.
Yeah.
That is wild stuff, man. That's wild stuff.
Well, what do you mean? You know, it's kind of like taking your medicine with some sugar. You know?
Oh, coating it.
Yeah. I don't want to tell you that we're about to engage in something that you may not want to. So I'm going to let you find out on your own.
Yeah, but deduce it.
Yeah.
But
I will give you like a really tasty meal.
In case this is your last one.
Oh.
In case it's one of your last ones.
That's not what I was going for, but sure.
My thing is, you've trained the men and women in the military to do the things that you're about to send them to do, right?
Yeah.
They know what the job is, actually. They're not, you know, hasn't been any drafting going on in a while, but like they know what the job is. They know what they signed up for. Why do you feel as though you need to give them a spoonful of sugar?
Because they lied to you. No, understand, Ambush. I feel like you're forgetting what it's like to have terms and conditions. To be clear, I have never been a service member, so I don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
However, I do know when you tell me one thing, I don't mean you, Ambush, but like if I'm at work and here's the thing, and here's what we're doing today, and then actually at the end of my shift, you tell me, I know that we said you were done, but
such and such is late.
Right. So and so called out. Yeah. We need more coverage. Yeah. Blah blah blah. Now you're on a, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is if that's me and it's a job I've ever had, that's a few more hours.
Yeah. And they usually lie to you and say like, yeah, so Jeff called out. So if you could just stay just a couple of hours.
Right.
Because Mason's going to stay a couple of hours too.
Right.
And then you guys can share Jeff's
clothes together.
And then you see Mason grabbing his coat 15 minutes later. And it's like, where are you going? It was like, oh, I'm done.
My experiences, but I do understand.
I'm done. You're not leaving? No, they said that we're both covering Jeff's ship. I'm not covering Jeff's ship. I got to go. Yeah.
I want you to not take over my story next time because
that got a little personal for me.
Yeah, I've now lost where I was. What I was trying to say is if it's a couple of hours for some people, man said we were deployed again for 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Or they're already deployed.
Yeah, but they were down without contacting their family.
Now they're going back to go do a whole new mission that, yeah, you would be big upset. On your way home,
devastated,
and then you get the surf and turf, and you're like, I know exactly what that means. This is your signal. You're not gonna let me go home.
You guys,
I can't get off this ship.
And I have shellfish allergy, so what the heck, man? I'm only turfing. That blows. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in the Halen, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
C said, no worries, Morgan. Pete Keg's breath has never really served either. You are qualified to speak on this.
Well, hello. Thank you. Well, hello.
Thank you.
We got another one. Said, this is why the initification radio friendly.
Ooh, you did it.
is out of control right now. When scamming is encouraged by the White House, almost everything gets worse and more expensive.
Real life. Like,
hello.
It's just making.
Oh, thank you for that.
The scamming.
Hey, why aren't you scamming? I'm scamming.
Right.
You're not scamming?
Full.
Come on.
Just. Full scam jacket, you know? I just don't understand.
Yeah. You mean to tell me there isn't a government contract you've had your eyes on?
Well, $1.2 billion.
Come on. Live a little.
He can come up with some pretty good business names.
Yeah.
I feel like acquisition logistics is really bottom tier.
Yeah.
And if anything... Listen, me a billion for the good business name.
I got one for you that can cover all bases, domestic and international.
Okay.
Prestige worldwide.
Okay.
Okay. Prestige worldwide. We do securities, entertainment.
We rent yachts.
Music video.
Oh my gosh.
If you guys haven't seen Step Brothers, please bless yourself. Wow. Yeah.
Well,
unbelievable.
I'll let you know what we're talking about when we come back from the old music break.
Mm-hmm.
In national news, Ambush is going to regale us with the Tylerico Crockett race.
Yeah, yeah.
Senate race.
Mm-hmm.
Texas?
Yeah, Texas Senate. Texas race. Senate.
And in local news, a jury finds Washington County deputy discriminated against multiple attorneys. So.
You don't say.
Can't wait to
dig into
that one.
Discrimination in Washington County. You don't say. All right, we will be right back from this music break. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. That was Toast by Coffee, another legendary chart-topping song I remember being in the studio for.
Oh.
And it was just... I tried to catch you before you started drinking. And it was such an amazing experience. It really was. It really was. Ask me anything about it.
You know? When?
When was it?
Yeah.
So you remember when it came out? It was actually old by that time. Aha! Yeah, we'd recorded it like 2 years before that.
I know that I'm not the only person who noticed that he did not answer that question.
I certainly did. I told you when.
You remember when it came out. Well, we did it like 2 years before then.
Oh, you're referring to the release date.
I'm referring to when you were there. I feel like if you were there
2 years before the release,
be able to let me know
where I was in my life when that happened.
Yeah, like what's the marker, if this wasn't one of the big markers to let you know, like I was 28 when this happened.
That's the thing. At the time, it wasn't one of the big markers, right?
It was just a regular studio set.
Room A, room B, room C, we're bouncing around, we're getting stuff done.
And what were you doing?
As I previously stated, bouncing around, getting stuff done.
Okay? Bouncing around, bouncing.
Getting stuff done, Morgan.
Oh, were you putting the plan together?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also...
building.
You know?
Bouncing and building.
Gotta build. Get together and build.
Did you produce? Did you...
They had people for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, my contributions were there. Anyways, I don't know if you
blessings.
I don't know if anyone, you know, any of these listeners have been following me on the grams. I've been sharing Tallarico content for a while now. And would you say yikes?
I yawned.
Yikes. And one of the things that struck me about, one of the things that impressed me about James Tallarico was how he used religion and the ways in which he used religion and threw it back in the face of the Republican Party, members of the Republican Party that use religion to oppress. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those situations where, like, you talk to people and they want to have, you know, religious debates, and it's like, but did you read the book? And you can tell the difference between people who've actually read the Bible or read a religious text and study the religious text versus they go to church every Sunday and listen to what the pastor tells them.
Right. Someone's interpretation of it.
Right. Tallarico studies the text. So it's easy for him to turn to a Republican who's going off a talking point and be like, well, actually, Jesus would have handled this way. And if Jesus were alive today, you guys would probably have been in the detention center.
Yeah.
The way you're conducting yourselves. This is not Christ-like.
Actually, no question.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I am not
the measles right now.
I am not. Jesus would be in a detention center getting the measles right now. Yikes. Okay.
It's just.
So while I am not religious, spiritual, yes. I've, you know, in my early childhood, there were a lot of years and time spent in these classrooms learning Seventh-day Adventism, learning Baptist doctrine and all of that stuff.
The word.
Mm-hmm. So it was just refreshing to see someone take what was my experience, which I feel like looking back was like negative. It was predominantly negative. There were some really great things I pulled out of that, but here you are, you're taking something I've distanced myself from and you're weaponizing it. And your platform, your principles, for the most part, line up with mine. It's like, okay, all right, go on. You are dangerous to these guys. Do it. So, yeah, I've been sharing Tallarico's stuff for a while. When I saw that Jasmine announced that she was running, immediately I was like, whoa, what are we doing? Why are we both running for the same thing? You guys are pretty much giving me the same policies. What's happening? I was confused. But, State Representative James Tallarico won the Texas Democratic Senate primary with about 53% of the vote, building a coalition in suburban and central Texas counties, while Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett dominated the big city Democratic bases in Dallas and Houston. There was a 160,000 vote margin. The three major cities, Crockett's strongest bases, Dallas, Houston, and Fort Worth. ideological contrast between the two, Crockett ran as a high-profile progressive voice in Congress, while Tallarico emphasized faith-based, unity-focused messaging aimed at moderates and independents. Crockett received backing, an endorsement from Kamala, which I think came really, really late.
It was very late.
I think it was like the night before.
Yeah.
Voting closed because, you know. Tallarico, you know, he built a national attention through media appearances, fundraising, and this was extremely, I didn't follow him on TikTok, but was extremely active on social media. It's popping up in my feed all the time. Democrats are hoping that the nominee can break a decades-long statewide losing streak in Texas. I remember the swell of support that was happening for Jasmine after she announced. And while I initially was confused about why she announced and what was going on, like, it just didn't seem strategically sound to me. And I'll explain that a little bit further. I'll go into that. We have conversations all the time about racism, right? And we're like, as black people, we get tired of educating y'all. We get tired of having this conversation with y'all. We've said it enough. White people need to talk to white people about racism. This is y'all's problem to fix. Okay? Also, white people are the ones that have the power to make the changes, to give us any movement on an issue like that. We just watched what happened to Kamala. And what happened to all of us? I'll say that, because and then y'all can go back to the older episodes. There was definitely a moment and I was like, holy smokes, Kamala can do this. She's getting support from people I didn't expect her to get support from. We might have something here. The Trump thing might be, we might be able to stave off this evil for a little longer. No. And her loss reminded me swiftly and clearly, America is not ready for that type of leadership. They're not ready for another black person, and certainly not a woman. Absolutely. A black woman, save it. Not in my White House. Not happening. Not leading the free world. Having that in my head, looking at Tallarico versus Crockett, I was like, if for me, from a principal standpoint, they're the same, why would I want someone who is going to be forced to be surrounded by people that are going to make their life a living hell? And then now we're putting this external pressure. Well, we voted you in. Why aren't you getting these things done? As if we don't understand what the landscape is. Because we want Jasmine Crockett because we want a world in which Jasmine Crockett can be in this position and make change and be effective, we're forgetting the world that we actually exist in. And now we're trying to force a square into a triangle. We haven't done the work. There is so much more work that needs to happen before the squad could be the effective part of the effective group that they needed to be.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh yeah, we got them. Now we're going to, what?
That's four people.
Four people.
You know, no, I just mean like.
Right.
The expectation is we got them now. We did it. Now it's going to be super different. And it's four people.
Right.
I mean, it's bigger than four people now, but it's still certainly not 10.
Yes.
You know, that are.
And what happened to those four people?
What do you mean?
Like the pressure that they were under. You certainly. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I thought you were saying they didn't vote right.
No.
I was like, what do you mean?
What do you mean? What happened?
Yeah.
The pressure that they were under, I think, just from one, doing their jobs, two, from the opposition, and then three.
Their party is their opposition.
That's where I was going to go next. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
I didn't mean to step
but on your turf. Yes, three, their own party. Their own party.
Yeah, when you are fighting two opposition parties and one of them says that it helps you, you know? C's asked, who announced their candidacy first, Tyler Rico or Crockett? And Tyler Rico did.
Yeah.
He announced in September.
Yeah.
And Jasmine Crockett jumped in the primary race a few months later in December.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I think that might have something to do with the response to her running too. Is there's already people that have, you know, they're already months into the announcement.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Saw her as coming in late.
Yeah.
I mean, and in all honesty, he had a 3-month
head start. Yeah.
In that race, yeah. You know, and that certainly matters in fundraising. That certainly matters in your campaign infrastructure, yeah. You know,
he was effectively campaigning while she was working.
Right.
Like while he may have announced in September, he's been campaigning for a couple of years now, like with the going to the churches and doing the speech, like talking about the type of leadership we need. He's been doing that for a while.
OK.
And regardless of all of that, Jasmine was still more popular, but.
Well, she has a national profile.
Yes.
And yeah, he did.
Exactly.
Like that definitely put her in a place to poll higher than him.
Yeah.
When she first jumped in, because more people know who she is.
Period. She out here putting in work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank Phil real quick.
Thanks, Phil.
Because he sent me a picture of our business, Prestige Worldwide Auctions.
Auctions?
Yeah. I wonder, Phil, where is this? Where is Prestige Worldwide Auctions?
There Amazing. Is a Prestige Worldwide. I mean,
that's
honestly.
Here. That has to be here.
That is here. That's under here. Like the Burnside Bridge.
What? That's.
Or the Morrison. What? Where is that?
Phil, is it AI? Are you AI in this?
Phil would never, number one.
I don't think he would. Whoa, wowzers. You just had that in the phone?
Bruh.
We got another one.
This one. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It says, it's truly insane how many people completely reject the fundamental teachings of Jesus while praising him.
Yes. Yes.
Republican Jesus is literally an antichrist idea that was meant to be satirical.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that if Jesus came back today, millions of MAGA cultists would call him a fake AI libtard and reject him.
Absolutely.
1,000%.
Absolutely.
1,000%.
Yeah. So you said, so another 100-day campaign. Sheesh. Yeah.
Okay. And then you're making a point. to me, you're making a point.
Yeah.
There is something to be said about why. What that last minute jump in means.
Yeah.
And what we're doing that for. Very much like one former vice president.
Right. Right.
Like.
It's a setup. Yeah.
And I want to know what the actual strategy is to convince a Jasmine Crockett or a Kamala Harris to do this thing they know they're about to lose.
Yeah, it's a full setup.
I want to know what that conversation is that allows, you know, this one says Crockett did come in. Oh, what up, Div? Crockett did come in late to the race, but I believe she also voted pro-Israel on funding them. She has voted
pro-Israel on, on the defense? She voted pro-Israel on the defense budget.
The money
budget.
Goes to the defense, not the offense, or something like that.
Correct.
Ask me if I get. Ask me.
I will. Morgan Jones.
Yeah.
You in the front.
That's me.
Is there a difference?
No, absolutely not. And I hope I didn't yell too loud in anybody's ear. But absolutely not.
No.
And we're not parsing.
No.
We're not going to do... Because all the parsing that American politicians have done has brought us to this very point.
Yeah.
Where you get to say some ridiculous stuff out of your mouth like, well, I voted for the defense budget of the oppressor. And
yeah.
So they've got to, you know, because everyone's got a right
to defend,
themselves. And so you got to have weapons to do that. And I know that they're running out because they don't have that many.
Please.
And so we're going to give them some for their defense, but not, but that's but not the same.
They promised us this is just for defense missiles, not offense missiles. These are the defense missiles that we use to shoot down the missiles that are coming at us. Purely defense missiles, you guys, not offense missiles.
Okay? Yeah, they don't get used in that way at all. And plus, too, they're totally good on offense weapons. Like, they've got so many that they don't even need more.
You
like
guys.
That, like, you don't even have to worry about them getting more with this money or these weapons because they already have so many that this is really all about the defense.
Yeah, I just, so yes, I'm definitely curious about that. What is the conversation where you're setting these black women up for these type of campaigns for them to lose? How are you convincing them that let's go with the 100-day strategy? Because don't worry about it not working last time, but it's going to work with you this time.
It seems to work. It doesn't work for presidential campaigns, but in a Senate race, it might really be the move.
And I've seen people the following day, like, you know, Jasmine, take time for yourself. You know, you ran a great race, da da da, and they're giving all these words of encouragement. But at the same time, the analysis that you brought up is where we need to be focused. Why? Your party is setting you up. They're getting everyone excited about a situation that most likely is not going to play out properly. It's not going to play out the way we do. Like, this is gaslighting. Mm. This is trauma. This is trauma inducing. Mm. Because what does that roll down to for voters? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's...
Disenfranchisement.
Easily.
Which I do. I mean, Jasmine was talking about that yesterday with the weird...
with who?
They just had a lot of... but weird was the wrong word. What's the word I want to use? Issues. The voting issues surrounding where they could vote, polling locations, like there were court rulings for extended hours, but the polling locations were still closing.
Yeah.
They were telling people that you couldn't vote past 7, but the rule has always been if you're in line by 7, it doesn't matter when you actually get in to vote.
Right, right.
You were in line by 7.
There was tons of voter suppression. Yeah.
Tons.
There was also, you'd show up to the polling place that you normally vote at, and you wouldn't find out that your place has been switched until you've waited in line all that time.
Right.
Got to the table and it was like, oh, you're supposed to actually be at a polling place 20 minutes from here, a voting place 20 minutes from here.
And that was that the how they changed how primaries are done in Texas.
Yeah.
And some Texas counties did not hold Republican and Democratic primaries at, you know, meaning voters had to go to specific polling places depending on the party primary they wanted to vote in.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And in previous elections, many voters were just able to vote anywhere within their county.
Right.
So people showed up at the wrong location.
Right.
That's, okay.
Yeah.
Election officials said that large numbers of voters initially showed up to the wrong place.
Oh my gosh.
And the thing that you have to think about is if you are a person who is like, oh, well, I'm going to vote today, and you go to your place and you encounter some sort of, you know, you're turned away.
Yeah.
And told to go somewhere else.
You encounter some type of interference.
Interference. Thank you. And you get to the next place and the line is, you know.
Yeah. Around the block.
Around the block a couple of times. Maybe you're like, well, let me see if there's another polling location I can go to for who I want to vote for. Like, and then on the third one, there's going to be a lot of people who just dip.
Yeah.
I'm not looking anymore.
Because now it's 6:30.
I don't have enough time. I'm tired. I'm not waiting in that line for 5 hours, you know? That is voter disenfranchisement. That is voter suppression. When you change how people vote while they're voting without telling them, like that. Sorry.
Yeah.
That is just absolutely wild.
Yeah. Blobfish said, quote, let's buy 500 bombs, but promise they won't be used to kill people.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it, Blobfish. That's it.
We got another.
I promise.
Hey. Aren't the people killing bombs, okay? These are the bombs killing bombs, okay?
These ones are just the defense. And so if a person dies, I think that proves that they were the offender.
Yeah. Hello.
They wouldn't have been in the line of fire of my bomb. Otherwise.
Somebody sent a photo, Hank Hill, and the caption says, it's Jesus peace, not hippie peace. Seeds makes a very good point. In the way of who cares if she voted pro-Israel, because guess what Tallarico's voting when it's time? And it's like, Dem's going. If that's why you're like, I chose Tallarico over Crockett because she's pro-Israel. When he gets in, he is going to vote the same way. He's going to.
I guess this is why I was always confused by your excitement.
Yeah. Around him. Yeah.
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 It's like, I think that this is going to turn out to be a...
What's that? I don't think... Fingers crossed, and I'm going to say this.
He's no Fetterman.
Wow. Holy smokes. You reached right inside my forehead and pulled that out.
I'd like you to start calling me Vision.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Vision. But yeah, fingers crossed he doesn't turn into a Fetterman. You know, fingers crossed. Well, yeah, Fetterman, Cinema, Mansion, you know, all these wolves in sheep clothing. I just know.
They were wolves.
Yeah, they were just wolves in wolves' clothing.
In a sweatshirt. You had a wolf in a sweatshirt. You had a wolf in tortoiseshell glasses.
They were just wolves.
And you had a used car salesman wolf.
They were just
wolves. They were all wolves.
In a Timberwolf sweatshirt.
Literally.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. This is just what gets me, is that we can't see the wolves somehow, but they literally have the whole wolf face.
Right.
And it's like, I'm sorry. John Fetterman certainly had promise.
Yeah.
You know,
he definitely came in blue collar, wearing my hoodie.
Yeah.
Every man.
Yeah. And then he was like, man, I don't want to lose this gig. This is sweet, except for you got to campaign all the time, and I don't like doing that.
This is super sweet.
And then he had a stroke, and then everything went kaput. And I think that there is literally, we have to be serious. Why is he still at work?
Right. Get him out of there. Get him out the paint.
And I say this, meaning I, you know, one of my most dearest, most favorite people on earth, my Aunt Marianne, had a massive stroke.
Yeah.
And she will never be the same.
Right.
And she will never be able to do what she was able to do throughout her life. I don't, if she had to work.
Oh, no. No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not, that's not taking care of anyone. You can't have someone with an actual traumatic brain injury that may have times where they don't know who the president is.
Yikes.
They may have times where the daytime tasks things that are executable aren't gonna get, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't have them be in charge. And I don't understand this idea of like, well, I guess you're alive. You could still do this job. Like, what? There was a whole congressperson who was in a dementia home.
Yeah.
For months.
Yes.
And no one knew where she was.
This was in a memory care facility. And her staff just kept it pushing.
Not only did they just make decisions for her, I think she'd like it this way.
Right.
Like, there's a problem. There's a big problem that we are allowing sick people to continue to be a part of the decision-making group.
Right. Right.
And I'm not saying that there aren't people that have strokes that then are able to... It's a... small TIA, or it's, yeah, you know, they're, yeah, able to bounce back. We are not talking about the people that bounced back. These people ain't bounced back.
No. They bounced sideways.
They bounced off.
They bounced off.
They bounced off.
They're off track. Yeah.
And now they're still in charge, though.
Yeah.
I'm yelling. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. There's a lot of...
Yeah, Dibbs said primary voting rules are also different from regular election voting rules. Why, Texas?
Exactly. But it's not just Texas.
Right.
Because that's the other thing. Primary voting rules are different in every state.
Why?
Maybe not every, but many. Why? There's different, you know, like it's not the same in Pennsylvania as it is in Oregon. In Oregon, you have to be... registered as the party that you want to vote for.
Yeah.
You can change your party afterwards, but you don't get to vote for the Republican if you aren't a Republican, if you aren't a registered Republican.
It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
It's a primary.
C said, Fetterman ain't leaving till Mitch McConnell does.
Oh, so never.
He said, right.
Mitch McConnell is 412.
You have someone with a brain injury in the White House, Morgan.
Oh, well aware.
That was the first person that popped in my head when you were talking about that. I was aware.
This is literally the administration of TBI.
Yeah.
This is the CTE presidency. CTE administration.
Ooh. I'm convinced of that.
I mean, we can't.
Fully convinced of that.
We can only not prove it because they can't prove that you have CTE until after you're dead. But boy, oh boy.
Boy.
Are we going to see a lot of dead gray matter or whatever. However they tell in the brain.
I literally thought you were going to be like, boy, oh boy. Are we going to see TE?
Okay, well, I'm funnier than that.
Oh. Said, nice try, Amber.
Just kidding. I just didn't have anything for that.
But yeah. Yeah, broski. This is, yeah. So, again, hoping Tallarico doesn't turn into a Fetterman. Oh, I have what you said.
America is sundowning.
Oh, no.
The lights are getting real low, big guy.
Oh, no. America is sundowning.
Well, this when you start bad. As a sundown town.
Yeah. You turn into a sundown nation.
Turn into a sundowning nation.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Ambush, if you wouldn't mind.
I don't mind.
A music break.
Oh.
Get ourselves back together.
Yeah.
Tighten up, as they say.
Yeah. All right.
Figure out what the next move is.
Okay. Let's go. And we are back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, 971-220-5979. One last thing on the Crockett-Tallarico thing. It's not so much about them, but more so about this last-minute campaigning thing they keep throwing black women in. Mm. Project 2025 wasn't created a month before it was published. Project 2025 is something they worked on for decades.
Yeah.
Strategy after strategy, right, implemented to the point where now it's like, now it's time to activate it. We can go public. But we have been putting the pieces in place for this for decades. The Democrats are now trying to convince us that this is something we can fix right now.
Right.
No, bro. There's no quick way to do this. There's no quick way to do this.
I agree. But there is action that can be taken. And instead of doing the action, they keep doing the talk about action.
Yeah, the inaction.
And that's the job right now. Like, this is why I want us to continue to be looking at Mayor Mamdani.
Yeah.
You know, there are. Government can work for us in the way that we want it to, in the way that it is described mm-hmm. as it's supposed to. There's a way for that to work. It never has.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we can't have it. The folks that continue to do the job of being in the way to upholding get to it.
Yeah.
Those are the folks who have to get out of the way, and we have to recognize them for the wolves that they are.
Yeah.
Off rip.
Yeah.
Back to the wolves real quick before we move forward.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple of texts that we had missed, and I just want to say they matter.
Shout out to Flatfish.
One said Fetter Mansion.
That was Steve.
Absolutely wins.
Please, Fetter said, Mansion.
That sweatshirt is made of wool. And then I know it's been done, but I really want to start a line of wool sweatshirts with wolves on them with Fetterman for president.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
Blobfish, you're on it.
Yeah.
You're on it.
These are fantastic merch ideas. Fetter Mansion is about to be. I will credit you. You know, we'll find a way to make that right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Fetter Mansion is coming with me.
It's
coming with me.
I'm leaving here with something.
I'm leaving here with something. It's coming with me.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, much to both Michelle and potentially AJ's chagrin here, I.
It's already written.
I don't know. What?
I was saying you already written what you wrote. I'm sorry. I had a. It was one of those things where you say it in your mind and then it comes out of your mouth when you're just thinking it. So it doesn't make any sense for you to hear what was happening in my mind.
Why?
Hold on. I'm so sorry. What does that even mean to her? Like, I'm apologize.
Never mind.
You just pulled up to derail station.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. What? Okay.
You saw AJ?
Yes. AJ said, oh, I was just in Mamdana's stand. And y'all, he doing the thing. We need more of that brand of leadership. His response to a blizzard, top tier. He made snow manageable. We talked about this last week.
Hello. Top tier.
Top tier. And here's the thing. Snow is manageable in cities that are prepared for the snow mm-hmm. that they normally get.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They were like, this is a blizzard of epic proportions.
Unprecedented.
On its way. We have seen unprecedented blizzards before.
Yeah.
And we know what it means. We can't live this way. There are better ways to do this. And man said $30 an hour, $45 an hour overtime.
Bruh.
Shovel these streets. We're going to get this snow out of here. They also, multiple people were unblocking the waterways Then, okay, so you know, snow melts.
Mm-hmm.
You get a big, huge puddle. Now you've got the slush, ice, snow combo.
Yeah.
If you're on any busy street in New York, it's already, that street can be mostly dry and it's still a problem.
Yeah.
There's still going to be, you know, some sort of wet thing you could slip on.
Some challenges.
There are going to be some obstacles, if you will.
Yeah.
I watched multiple people clear the, basically just find where the drain was. You can't see the drain because all of the snow, and they're finding them and making the corners walkable, standable, if you will. Mm-hmm. So certainly far more, Mom Donna Stan.
Yeah.
Policies.
Yeah.
C says snow removal is very manageable at 45 an hour. I'm looking for snow right now.
Give me the snow. I'd like to remove.
I'd like to remove the snow. I'm here for the $45 an hour, please.
Yeah. I've been on hold for a little while here. I was wondering, where's the snow? Because I want to remove
it. There was an epic blizzard coming somewhere, and I heard I could. It also makes it manageable when you have more people.
Hello.
It makes it real manageable when there's a bunch of people doing the job. What's the phrase? Many hands make light work or something like that.
Yeah.
Michelle says, gotta love Mom Donnie's radical communist agenda of paying people.
Oh, my God.
I mean, and in all honesty, shouldn't we just be sane? Radical it is.
You such a communist. You're paying people for work?
In their community, they should do it all for free. If you're going to be a socialist communist, you don't get to have money.
Are you at least making them travel for the work? Are you at least forcing them to go shovel other neighborhoods?
Yeah, they got to. If you live in the Bronx, you have to shovel upstate. And you only get the money if you take a train that transfers twice.
Yeah. Oh,
my God. Gotta put some bureaucracy in there somewhere. Yeah, gotcha. You know, how else will this run?
We gotta make this messy, guys. Oh, God.
All I was gonna say is our local story is not about messy Portland politics, but it is about messiness.
Yeah.
Getting cleaned up.
It's all messy.
Jury finds Washington County deputy discriminated against attorneys. A jury has found that a Washington County sheriff's deputy discriminated against two attorneys of color by blocking them from entering a courtroom on separate occasions. Jurors delivered the verdict Wednesday after about 5 hours of deliberation in a case brought by lawyers Chloe Clay and Eileen Sanchez in Washington County Circuit Court. Sorry. The trial began January 6th and centered on encounters the two women had with Deputy David Lyle while working as public defenders.
Thank you for naming the name.
So to be clear, if you're like, what's happening? These two women are attorneys with the public defender's
office,
but it's in Washington County. Deputy David Lyle didn't believe them, I guess. Clay and Sanchez, who both worked for Metropolitan Public Defenders at the time, said Lyle profiled them based on race and ethnicity during incidents in 2022 and 2023 at the Washington County Law Enforcement Center. Clay, who was Black, and Sanchez, who is Latina, testified that they repeatedly identified themselves as attorneys but were denied entry into the courtroom. The jury ultimately awarded Clay $500,000 in damages and Sanchez $300,000. Their legal team said they would also seek reimbursement of legal fees, and that those will likely total nearly $1 million.
Bruh.
Clay testified that during a November 2022 encounter, Lyle refused to give her paperwork for a client and directed her to stand in line with criminal defendants.
That is so ridiculous.
Despite offering her Oregon State bar number and business card, Clay said the deputy asked for identification that she did not have with her and told her to leave. She said a court translator later recognized her and confirmed she was a lawyer, at which point Clay entered the courtroom. Sanchez described a similar experience 2 months later when she arrived early for a hearing with her client. She testified that Lyle blocked her from entering the courtroom even after she identified herself as an attorney. Sanchez said the deputy raised his voice and assumed she was an interpreter. Pointing to her bag and telling her she could not enter. A colleague eventually intervened, confirming Sanchez's role as an attorney. Lawyers for Clay and Sanchez said testimony from 9 white attorneys supported their argument that the women were treated differently. Those attorneys told jurors they had not faced similar barriers when entering the courtroom. In a statement after the verdict, the plaintiff's legal team praised Clay and Sanchez for pursuing the case, saying their actions highlighted inequities in access to the county's court system. Washington County Sheriff Caprice Massey said the agency was disappointed with the verdict.
How? What?
But remained committed to maintaining facilities that are safe and free from discrimination.
Fire her and what's the other? What's the guy's name? Lyle. Fire them both.
Attorneys for the county argued during the trial that Lyle was following standard security procedures designed to ensure courtroom safety.
The bleep he was.
Clay and Sanchez said the incidents ultimately led them to stop taking cases in Washington County. Now, I want to be real clear here. There is a public defender shortage in Oregon. Not just Portland, right. Not just Multnomah right. County, not just Washington County, not just Clackamas County, Oregon. And within the courthouse where these people are attorneys for folks who cannot afford attorneys, which is most folks.
Yeah.
You tried to send the black woman to the criminal defense line and said that the Latina woman was an interpreter and couldn't go to court yet.
Despite what they presented to you.
Despite telling you they're attorneys. Despite telling you. I mean, you know, this is. I read 3 different stories on this because I kind of just. I can't get over it.
Your mind was bottled.
And I want to speak with one of the attorneys for this case, because the way that both women describe their experience, not only is it so similar, it's like there's no way that someone else didn't go through this, another black right. or Latina or right. Person of color. There's no way they didn't go through this.
Right.
And I'm not saying every single one, but I'm saying there's got to be more than these 2 attorneys.
Yeah.
Because that particular person who was a, you know, is a deputy there and has been for a few years. The way that you are stared at as a black person, but also completely what's the right word? Like see-through.
Yeah, ignored and yeah.
You're consistently like they're clocking you, but you haven't noticed that I'm an attorney?
Right.
This isn't the first day that you've seen me. This isn't my first time in this courthouse. This isn't the first time I've come through this line and said I'm an attorney going into the courthouse. Like.
Yeah, it's like going into a racist establishment, like a restaurant. And it's like, you see me, but you don't?
Right. Like.
It's
almost like you're ready to call the police to get me out of here, but you won't see me. But
you don't see me?
But you don't see me to seat me. Wait. Okay. What's happening? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Well, let me not say that. I do know how he still has a job. Because he was doing his job.
So Lyle.
Yeah. I'm with you. This isn't an isolated instance. It couldn't be just have been these two, you know, lawyers. I am curious, though, depending on how long he's been in that position, how much more emboldened he feels to be outwardly racist because of our current administration. And because of, you know, there is the trickle down racism. Some things do trickle down. All right.
It's never money.
It's never the economics. But the racism definitely trickles down.
No question.
Yeah. So things that people weren't able to get away with before, if you're someone and you're seeing people get away with it left and right, and you're like, you know what I'm going to do today when I get to work? I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to let them know what I really feel. Yeah. Yeah. I see you coming, black lady.
You're a criminal.
You know?
So why don't you go over there? You got there, criminal.
Why don't you go over there with your crime folk? Okay.
The people that do the crime stand right over there.
Yeah. And leave the lawyering to us whites.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been like, you know, that's something he could have been waiting to say for years.
And he's also not a lawyer.
Ha ha! You're not.
Leave the lawyering to the people that went to school for it. That yeah. also happened to be what?
Because yeah.
The school you went to was a historically black college, I bet, because you had to. And they right. barely teach you how to read.
Oh, my God. I like that you gave him a more distinguished accent.
Well, you were saying he was emboldened in his racism, so that's I figured true. It had to be somewhat European.
Yeah, all right. Give him some old
aristocratic.
School. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me like you.
I do say, sir. No. Now, this is going to go bad.
If you keep going, it's going to go bad?
Yeah, the more I do it, then I'll stop. Okay. Michelle, I stop. AJ.
I'll edit.
Still, please be my friend.
But yeah, it's just, oh my gosh, man. And then to have his superior say, hey.
We're disappointed in the verdict.
I bet
we
you are.
We are disappointed. Sorry, you brought me back no, and ahead, you put me in a place.
Yeah, go there. I bet you are disappointed.
I do not ever want to be the person who has to give that statement. To be honest, I couldn't give that statement. Maybe a different time in my life and I didn't understand the way that things worked, maybe I would have put that statement out.
Right.
That's a lie. I never would have. This is the I don't know how to clean up any of my bad words. There absolutely is no way that I could make that statement and feel good about it and move on.
Right.
This person is discriminating against y'all all supposed to like, you're not on the same team, but you're all supposed to have some professional decorum, right? Like we're all in a courthouse. That's supposed to mean something to somebody.
Somebody.
It's supposed to mean something to him because here he is. I'm the trapper keeper of it all. Yeah. I'm the one who's in charge to tell you that you do or you don't get to go in these
places.
I hold the gate. I have the clipboard. But you have the clipboard. And you're only telling certain people not to come in.
Right.
Ruining their days. Putting them in a position of... I mean, like, honestly, what does that do to a lawyer's confidence as they are trying to get somebody out of jail?
Right.
Sorry.
No. I turned up in my ear.
Oh.
No, you're fine. Yeah. What does that do? You're supposed to be keeping the gate at the Hall of Justice. Okay? Like, what are we talking about? And the thing is, it's a very easy job. It's a very easy job. Okay, you're supposed to make sure people go to the right lines. That's it. You want to turn it into a situation.
Bruh.
You want to be, I don't know, the baker that turns away queer couples. Like, you want to make headlines.
You want to be known? You want to be known? Is this what you want to be known for?
So
I cannot imagine just being that person's boss and being like, man, I really thought that verdict was going to go a different way. I thought
that was going to go a different way.
I thought we were going to get that one. Lyle. Take this one on the chin. We're going to put you in a different line.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not going to deal with the attorneys anymore. Now you'll Bro.
Get him out of there. This law enforcement, if any of you are listening, this is why we don't trust y'all. Here you are. Someone in rank and file has made a blatantly racist mistake. And then someone in leadership is in protection of that person.
Right.
No matter what, there is never a moment where it's easy for you guys to just say, hey, this person made a mistake. If you could just start there, maybe we won't call for people to get fired every single time for everything. Mm. But there is no middle ground with you. It's either they're 100% correct or they're 100% correct because they're never wrong. There's no police union that comes out and says, oh, well, you know, in this case, no, it's never that. Not so you so cannot good. Be trusted. You can't be trusted with body cams. You can't be trusted with statements. You can't be trusted with testimonies. You cannot be trusted. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming everywhere at xray.fm.
We did it.
Blobfish said, also, the people they're trying to defend are probably having a hard time not having their representatives. Like you said, they were trying to get there early to meet with their client.
Hello?
Now that time gets lost.
Hello?
Come on, man.
C's also said that's two less public defenders today.
Right.
That's where it goes for me. So they are still. That's a defendant.
Yeah. Public defendants today.
Yeah.
Two less. Yep. It's running the numbers. You know, we got some money we can afford to.
The thing is that the shortage in Oregon is the reason that the DA in Multnomah County is,
Over 600 cases?
Yeah. It's about 613 cases that they are dropping.
Yep.
And that's the guy, if you'll remember, that was like, this is a Schmidt show.
I'm not like
that
him.
That Schmidt keeps letting, it's a revolving door and we won't have it because law and order and truth and justice or something like that. And Schmidt was like, hey man, there is this big shortage of public defenders. That matters. We can't just like keep people indefinitely waiting for trial. And he was like, psych, yes you can. I absolutely will keep everybody in jail forever if I have to. And then here we are.
You know what I'd like to be responsible for? I'd like to be responsible for hiring the person, the mercenary, the asset that would follow Vasquez around with the water bottle and just do two on the back of his neck so it rolls down his shirt collar. Huh? I'd like to hire that person. You're listening to X-Ray FM. I covered that. Thank you so much.
Yes, you did.
But thank you for joining us for another show. We did it. News of My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio. Playlist is updated. Kyle, make sure all the texts are in there. Thank you guys so much for today. We got tons of texts. We got tons of photos. And Phil, we need an answer on Prestige.
you guys have been 15 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know?
You guys have been 15 out of 10. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Thank you for tuning in. We will catch you Monday night, 6:30. On the YouTubes.
Be there.
Hey.
Or you're a square.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.